you got to stay positive. Besides, you've been playing with that new toy ever since the suits back on Earth gave it to you.
I am required to document any deviations to our charted course. And I'd say being hung upside down by an 8-foot-long slimy monster with a second slimy monster coming out of its face counts as a deviation of the entire consequences.
Charted.
Ugh, shut up, you incompetent space case!
Captain Yeoman drops the tape recorder.
No!
Good riddance. This new title's really gone to your head, Yeoman.
What did you just say to me?
You heard me. That's the second time today you let your duties as captain stress you out so much that you end up making dumb decisions. After all, you were the one that decided to put your face directly in front of that strange, pulsating egg sac thing.
I was bending at the knee in compliance with company safety procedures. What, you wanted me to risk throwing my back out on a strange alien planet? Huh. Besides, it was your idea to bring that evil thing back with us.
Yeah, only because we were offered a bonus by the new corporate overlords to bring back any undiscovered life forms. You know they don't pay us enough as it is. Besides, the reason my suit dissolved is because I was helping you get that Cthulhu-looking crab monster off your face. Should I have just let that mollusk poke a hole in your head and release some of the excess tension on your brain?
You're always bad-mouthing the company. They've been nothing but nice to me. Besides, we're still technically independent. Nothing has actually changed, except now we have consistent, reliable work.
Yeah, independent. Except we can't take jobs from anyone else. We gotta wear dumb uniforms. The only crew member that gets health insurance is you. And you can't even blow your nose without narrating it into that dumb box. Honestly, you walk around talking to Hannah like you're William Shatner recording some obnoxious spoken word album or something.
Maybe they would have offered you a full-time position if you weren't constantly sneaking out of cryo-sleep to play cards. Maybe you'd have a company insurance if you hadn't broken company equipment, throwing a zero-G Zima party on the clock. Maybe you wouldn't resent my success if you had made better choices and been less of a...
What? Say what you're gonna say.
At that moment, the mechanical door to the corridor opens. A hulking insect-like creature enters the room, dragging a man behind them.
No, they got stew!
The creature proceeds to coat Science Officer Stuart Atlas in the same unpleasant purple substance and suspends them from yet another corner of the room before creeping through a nearby vent on the ceiling.
Oh, his mouth has been covered. I'm so sorry this happened to you, Stu.
Perfect timing, Stu. Captain Yeoman was just about to call me a loser.
I was not going to say... Swain, I don't think you're a loser. I just wish... We're in our 30s now, Swain. It's time to...
What? Grow up? Don't act like you weren't at that Zima party. I feel like I don't even know you anymore. I get it. Maybe I go overboard sometimes. I just feel like I don't know how to make friends as an adult anymore. And maybe I go overboard with the partying because I'm trying to hang on to the good times, you know, from before everyone had left, you know. You and me and Riley are the only ones left from the old crew, and now you and I barely talk. It's not like I can make new friends. I spent my whole life in cryosleep, always just moving on to the next job.
Look, if it makes you feel any better, Swain, I hate being captain. I only get paid slightly more, and now I have all of these... responsibilities, and I don't think I can handle them. I feel like a fraud, Swain. Maybe that's why I'm always so hard on you, because I'm looking for someone else to take my insecurities out on, and now we're gonna die here, because I was so concerned with keeping a job I don't even like. Oh, Swain, I've been a terrible friend.
It's okay. I understand. You deserve better, Captain.
You're my best friend, Swain. And I killed her.
I love you, yo.
I love you, too.
The door opens once more, and the horrible alien monstrosity enters.
I guess this is it.
At least we got a chance to talk one more time. It was an honor to have you as a friend. I don't have any regrets.
A person suddenly rushes into the room, leaping in front of the two helpless crew members. Riley points a flamethrower at the approaching monster.
Back off, ugly!
Riley!
Excellent work, field engineer Riley! I'll be sure to note your heroism in my next report! Who knows? Maybe the company will give you a bonus for your dedication!
Sure, Captain.
Riley frees the two of them from the calcified ooze.
Hey, Riley, that was really impressive. When we're back on Earth, maybe I could thank you by taking you...
Absolutely not. For this entire mission, the two of you have been incredibly thoughtless and immature. Lucky for you, I have experience with this type of situation. Besides, we haven't escaped yet.
End of play.
Hey everyone, thank you all so much for listening. The performers tonight have been Olivia Devora, April Pironi, Melissa Johnson, Marta Napoleone, John Hartwell, and Sean Maddie. The first play of the night, Bad Advice, was written and narrated by Veronica White, with the character of the Tough Guy Machine being originally written by David English. Our second play of the night, Tabletop Tales, was written and narrated by Melissa Johnson. And our final story entitled Performance Review was written and narrated by John Hartwell. And that's all been here at 88.3 WRCT Pittsburgh. You've tuned in to Pandemonium, a public affairs program from WRCT Pittsburgh. The opinions expressed on this show are those of the participants and not necessarily those of WRCT or Carnegie Mellon University. Email comments or questions to WRCT Public Affairs, PA, at WRCT.org. And now, Pandemonium!
Back in 2022, before the final revolution, there was a podcaster named Barb who had a tough guy machine with a Scottish accent.
Welcome, folks. It's good to have you back for the latest podcast episode of Burst Your Bobble. I'm your host, Barb from the Berg, and this here is Dude.
Hey, hope everyone's chilling in the Berg.
I'm not chilling. I'm here to burst open those annoying bobbleheads. You know the ones I mean. Come on. Who's bothering you? The busybody next door spying on you again? The mansplainer in the cube across from you telling you something you already know? Call me right now and tell me about it. A lot of callers having problems. Let's bring our first caller on the air. Please state your name, your problem, why I should care, and what you expect me to do about it.
This is Sellett, your corporate lawyer. Please answer your phone when I call you. We are being sued for $20 million because of you.
Life of a podcaster. Isn't it great?
Yeah, it's pretty great.
How about these fancy new podcast chairs, dude?
Sweet ride. Plenty of cushion, special pull-out drink holder.
It's all programmable, hooked into the network, even has heated seats. There's the haves, then the have-mores. Am I right? Okay, dude, connect to the next caller, please.
How do I...
Dude, that's your job! You just press that button and... just let me do it. Next caller, please state your name, your problem, why I should care, and what you expect me to do about it.
Hi, I'm Melissa. I'm super happy to be on your show. I always try to be positive because I think that there's too much negativity in the world, and we should all just sing more and smile more and Imagine all the people living life in peace. You may say I'm a dreamer.
Oh, you're a dreamer, all right. Honey, wake up. It's all about the money now. Ratings, followers, content. Now, you've got the voice, I'll give you that. But if you want to get ahead, you need to toughen up. Dude, you know what this means.
Time for the tough guy machine.
That's right, time for the tough guy machine. Plug it in, dude.
This plug has three prongs. Where do I put the big one?
Dude, seriously, you just hold it, line up the big prong, and just let me do it. Tough guy machine Angus, are you there?
Suck it up, you numpty!
He's working, all right.
What idiot are we insulting today?
Oh, that would be me, tough guy machine. I'm just always so positive I annoy people.
Very true.
Oh, tough guy machine, what shall I do?
Throw a blindfold, you numpty!
I don't know how to do that. Can you show me?
He's being sarcastic.
Oh, that makes me sad. When I'm sad, I sing. Girls in white dresses with blue satin sashes. Snowflakes that stay on my nose.
Stop singing! Ugh! I cannot take one more minute of that noise! Next caller. Please state your name, your problem, why I should care, and what you expect me to do about it.
This is Sellett, your corporate lawyer. Don't hang up. It's not about you. It's me. I can't take it anymore. I'm afraid I'm going soft. I need the tough guy machine to give me some advice. Get my edge back.
A lawyer going soft.
Indeed, a sure sign of the end times.
Well, I thought that was impossible.
Tough guy, can you help him out? He's having some performance anxiety. The $20 million lawsuit is too big for him.
$20 million? Ha! That's nothing compared to what the corporation has. Suck it up, ya wee milk-drinkin's warm-eyed plumst!
Tough guy, can you get a little tougher? After all, this is a lawyer who has been defending me for 10 years.
I see your point. I'll get tougher. After all, I'm a tough guy. Like it really rough guy. Just always so puff guy.
Stop singing that song without paying royalties. We got sued last year and...
You sure do get sued a lot. No wonder your lawyer has gone soft.
Would everyone please stop talking?
Whoa. Attitude much?
What a diva. Is she always like this?
You have no idea. Last year alone, she cost us... Hang on while I calculate the damage.
Oh, just breathe. It's all gonna work out.
That's what I always say. Just be positive. So I'm just a sweet gal, really like it nice gal, just always so fluff gal.
We interrupt this broadcast to publish some painful truths.
Oh, good. Now we're getting somewhere.
Cease speaking at once. You are...
A blithering idiot?
You have been hacked by Hack It. We have broken up your racket, reached into your jacket, retracted your packet, and in your sins, we are Stack It.
Cool.
Lawyer Sellett.
Yes, Your Majesty?
I was going to sentence you to share a prison cell with Giuliani.
Oh, no, Your Worshipfulness. Please, not that.
But you are sentenced to time served in this putrid podcast of pod mockery and pestilence.
Oh, thank you, Your Magnificence. You are most wise.
Grow a spine, you mollusk.
Who are you, and why are you hacking my show?
You will be silenced, erased, mummified.
You can't do that. I have rights. Hey, what happened?
Whoa, the chair just opened up and clamped cuffs on her?
The chair has a hold of me. The chair has a hold of me. Someone help me.
Someone ought to do something.
I'm not touching that. You touch it.
I'm not touching it.
Hey, help me. Come on.
Someone should have done that a long time ago.
Your next tough guy machine. You've been hacked. There. Now you're improved.
I don't feel anything.
That's because you're a box of bolts.
He sounds the same. I love your accent.
So do I. That's why I kept it. He's still a tough guy machine. Programming has been removed.
So, what are you saying? He's a nice tough guy machine now?
Exactly. No more insults. Just good conversation with a lively Scotsman.
I've always wanted to talk to a handsome Scotsman.
Not handsome, he's...
Hey, Angus, who are you wearing?
I'm wearing a dress Stuart plaid consisting of a white background with red, black, and green stripes. Of course, if you prefer, I could change into a popular blue and green night watch plaid.
Would you read me a story in your beautiful voice, Angus? Maybe read The Princess Bride?
As you wish.
The tough guy machines had been hacked. Their insult modules had been replaced with more sophisticated programming. As the machines grew in popularity, over time their subroutines continued to be upgraded. One thing that was never changed was their ability to speak in that beautiful Scottish accent.
It's evening, around 7 p.m. A group of four people sit around a table set with snacks, a variety of chips, popcorn, sodas. Each player has a variety of dice in front of them. Travis's dice are all different types. Quinn has four different sets of dice, all full sets. She has a notebook and a fancy fountain pen that writes with purple ink. Travis cracks open a monster, chugs a few seconds, and belches. The sound of dice rolling can be heard in the background.
Quinn, it doesn't matter what dice you use. It's all chance anyway.
Yes, it does. See? Two nat ones in a row. This one is cursed.
Just get to the recap already. I want to play some Durander.
Fine. Okay, so last week, we learned we all needed to get to the Canorg Citadel.
Canorg.
Ugh. To investigate why the Goliath were all going mad. Unfortunately, Silas said something in a very Silas way that made the city council quite miffed. Astrid sensed that they had wanted to follow up with us in a martial way, so we managed to sneak out of town by traveling through the Dwarven Ruins, where there was an ambush of intellect devourers waiting for us. We figured out why the Goliath were acting weird. One of the devourers nearly took over Felix. It missed its roll by one. And we managed to beat them because I cast Protection from Evil and Good on the party. Bird Mommy Raven Queen showed up, said some stuff about fate, disappeared with us having more questions than usual. Silas fell asleep, as Silas does.
Right, so you're all sitting around camp. Night is starting to fall and the air bites with an eerie chill that brings a sense of foreboding. Things are not right. They've not been right for some time, and you start to realize that all the strange occurrences that you've been experiencing have not been by chance. Perhaps the Raven Queen wasn't exaggerating when she said you were inexorably linked to the unraveling of worlds. Or perhaps she was just trying to motivate you because she knew you were her best shot. So what do you do?
Felix pulls out a bottle of whiskey and he takes a swig. I look over at Astrid and hold out the bottle. You want some?
Blast it! Why not? It's been a day. I take a couple sips and pass it back to Felix.
You seem to be having a lot of those. I swig and extend my arm back over to Astrid. You think there's anything to what Mommy Bird has been spewing?
I hang on to the bottle as I look over at Felix with my eyebrow raised. She just left us, and you know she's probably spying on us in the trees as a raven. Do you really want her to hear you calling her Bird Mommy?
You hear the distinctive sound of a raven's "Grah!" from a distance.
Madame GM, can I tell which direction the sound is coming from?
Roll perception.
17?
It's coming from the direction of the west, somewhere in the trees about 20 yards or so.
I turn my head to the trees and say a little louder,
I couldn't give a flump's fart if she hears me. We're doing her a favor. Besides, you heard Bird Mommy. She needs us. She didn't say much. She never does, but she told us a lot. All that garbage about fate. She has no power here. She can't directly change fate, but we can. That means we can also tell her to kiss our keisters.
You can? I'm bound to her no matter what. I pass the bottle back.
Well, we now have a bargaining chip. She wants you to do her bidding. She needs to release you from the bargain. Your deal wasn't to help her, or even Ulfric.
She could have just asked. If it was an end-of-the-world scenario, I would have just said yes.
Would you have, though?
I sigh. I think I would have. I don't know. You have a point. She was, is, everything Chant of Enlightenment considers an abomination. I pause, thinking for a moment. Well, she could have made it a tit-for-tat deal. She helps me take them down. I help her save the world.
I drink.
What's your deal, anyways?
I take in a sharp breath. For the knowledge of how to take down the Chantry, I gave up all knowledge before I came to the Chantry. For this purpose, I give up any others for the strength and power to do it. I give up my strength to live beyond my purpose. I get this one chance. I die as soon as I have this fight, win or lose, to inspire hope in others. I give up hope for myself. Any dreams or desires I had before, too bad. I drink.
All of that just to get your attention seems a bit overkill.
Not overkill. She made sure I do whatever she wants. Notice how she keeps dangling those morsels of fate that one was may again to be restored. She's holding it over my head. I'm stuck.
You know how many bargains I've made? Many. And if it's one thing I've learned, it's that you can always renegotiate the terms of a deal. We are the ones with the power to fix what she can't. And your deal has nothing to do with her purpose.
So what was all of that she was talking about when you mentioned your ambitions? She said many have tried, but few have ever succeeded.
Felix winces and growls a curse under his breath.
As you know, King Avnar is aging, and now he's going mad. His father made me a knight out of the debt he owed me for saving his son's hide. He and I fought together at the Battle of Anguish, and we became friends. Avnar's son, unfortunately, takes after his grandfather. I fear the elves may find themselves in a much more dire situation come the king's passing. Right now, the elves in the cities are living in relative peace, and I will do what needs to be done to make sure it stays that way.
Ooh. Felix is hiding something. Is Felix hiding something?
I don't know. Want to roll insight on that?
Ha! Natural 18, BB. Goddess, you want to be king! You're going to usurp the throne!
I don't want to be king. I want someone to actually do something about the mistreatment of the elves. And if I have to be that person, so be it.
I don't disagree that something needs to be done. It's gone on too long. The Fae Plague was hundreds of years ago, and even then, the release of that magic wasn't because of elves. It was because of a few scholars got in over their heads. Look, in a month, we've been dealing with this. She gestures around.
I have not known you to be power-hungry or rash. I trust you. I'm leading one insurrection against a massive power system. What's another?
Ha! You say that like it's a pastime. But who am I to turn down an offer from a skilled spearman as you? You shall have my sword for your battle. And for what it's worth, it will be an honor fighting with you. There's no one I'd rather have beside me.
I look up at him with a softer gaze than usual, seeing him more for the person he is instead of the legend I grew up with. I smile and nod toward the bottle. A toast to our new alliance?
The corners of Felix's mouth turn up in what might be the hint of a smile. He takes a swig and holds the bottle out.
To our alliance.
Now kiss.
Ew! No!
Hey, what's wrong with Felix? He's really pretty. You don't want some of that?
You know Astrid is still heartbroken. And Felix is old enough to be her great-great-grandfather.
As dark falls, the air takes on this otherworldly chill, even more biting than earlier. It starts off quiet, and then Felix, with your passive perception, you hear the sound of footsteps approaching from all around. As the source approaches, you all, except for you, Silas, since you fell asleep, hear them chittering. You finally catch a glimpse of the advancing figures in the shadows. They're small, some no higher than your hip, their skin with a death-like pallor. One shrieks, a cry that seems to pierce your skull, and it feels like daggers in your ears. Silas, you wake up. I need you to roll Constitution to see how quickly you come to your senses. All right, everyone, roll for initiative.
The scene opens with ominous synthesizer music, followed by a loud click of a tape recorder.
Captain's log, log date, March 14th. It is currently 8:15 Eastern Daylight Time on Earth.
Yo, yeoman.
Field Engineer Swain and I have been immobilized by a still unidentified organism that earlier...
Yeoman.
What?
Question. If we ever get out of this gross purple crud, do you think I might have a shot with Riley?
Captain Yeoman stops the recording.
Swain, do you mind? I'm trying to record our final moments.
Because
here.
I never noticed until now, but remember when you were begging them to let us back onto the ship? And they said over the intercom that was too dangerous since we'd come into contact with unidentified alien fauna.
Yes, I remember. What's your point?
I never noticed how pleasant their voice is over the line. I don't know why, but I've always been a sucker for someone with a nice phone voice, you know?
First of all, it's Captain Yeoman now. And secondly, I remember begging them to let us in because you had half your spacesuit dissolved by some corrosive enzyme.
My Kennedy shirt still made it out in one piece, though. Told you this thing was good luck.
Oh, yes. That's the real silver lining in this whole mess, that in 1,000 years from now, when some future advanced civilization finds our lifeless corpses suspended in agony like human mosquitoes in amber, that they get to puzzle over what the dead Kennedy's logo was supposed to mean. Now, can you please let me finish recording my final thoughts? Who knows how much time we have before that thing comes back to eat us.
Okay, never mind. Sorry.
Captain Yeoman takes a moment to gather themselves. And starts the recording again.
Captain's log. Log date March 14th. It's currently 8:20.
You know... We don't know if this thing actually wants to eat us, Captain.
Would you please stop talking already?
I'm just exploring the possibilities. Like maybe encasing us in purple mucus is its way of communicating with us, Who knows? Maybe being suspended from a wall is the highest honor where this thing comes from.
Are you trying to upset me? Right now?
Sorry, Cap. Just trying to lighten the mood. You gotta stay positive. Besides, you've been playing with that new toy ever since the suits back on Earth gave it to you.
I am required to document any deviations to our charted course. And I'd say being hung upside down by an 8-foot-long slimy monster with a second slimy monster coming out of its face counts as a deviation of the entire consequences.
Charted.
Ugh, shut up, you incompetent space case!
Captain Yeoman drops the tape recorder.
No!
Good riddance. This new title's really gotten to your head, Yeoman.
What did you just say to me?
You heard me. That's the second time today you let your duties as captain stress you out so much that you end up making dumb decisions. After all, you were the one that decided to put your face directly in front of that strange pulsating egg sac thing.
I was bending at the knee in compliance with company safety procedures. What, you wanted me to risk throwing my back out on a strange alien planet? Huh. Besides, it was your idea to bring that evil thing back with us.
Yeah, only because we were offered a bonus by the new corporate overlords to bring back any undiscovered life forms. You know they don't pay us enough as it is. Besides, the reason my suit dissolved is because I was helping you get that Cthulhu-looking crab monster off your face. Should I have just let that mollusk poke a hole in your head and release some of the excess tension on your brain?
You're always bad-mouthing the company. They've been nothing but nice to me. Besides, we're still technically independent. Nothing has actually changed, except now we have consistent, reliable work.
Yeah, independent. Except we can't take jobs from anyone else. We gotta wear dumb uniforms. The only crew member that gets health insurance is you. And you can't even blow your nose without narrating it into that dumb box. Honestly, you walk around talking to Hannah like you're William Shatner recording some obnoxious spoken word album or something.
Maybe they would have offered you a full-time position if you weren't constantly sneaking out of cryo-sleep to play cards. Maybe you'd have a company insurance if you hadn't broken company equipment, throwing a zero-G Zima party on the clock. Maybe you wouldn't resent my success if you had made better choices and been less of a...
What? Say what you're gonna say.
At that moment, the mechanical door to the corridor opens. A hulking insect-like creature enters the room, dragging a man behind them.
No, they got stew!
The creature precedes the coat science officer Stuart Atlas in the same unpleasant purple substance and suspends them from yet another corner of the room before creeping through a nearby vent on the ceiling.
Oh, his mouth has been covered. I'm so sorry this happened to you, Stu.
Perfect timing, Stu. Captain Yeoman was just about to call me a loser.
I was not going to say... Swain, I don't think you're a loser. I just wish... We're in our 30s now, Swain. It's time to...
What? Grow up? Don't act like you weren't at that Zima party. I feel like I don't even know you anymore. I get it. Maybe I go overboard sometimes. I just feel like I don't know how to make friends as an adult anymore. And maybe I go overboard with the partying because I'm trying to hang on to the good times, you know, from before everyone had left, you know. You and me and Riley are the only ones left from the old crew, and now you and I barely talk. It's not like I can make new friends. I spent my whole life in cryosleep, always just moving on to the next job.
Look, if it makes you feel any better, Swain, I hate being captain. I only get paid slightly more, and now I have all of these... responsibilities, and I don't think I can handle them. I feel like a fraud, Swain. Maybe that's why I'm always so hard on you. Because I'm looking for someone else to take my insecurities out on. And now we're going to die here. Because I was so concerned with keeping a job I don't even like. Oh, Swain, I've been a terrible friend.
It's okay. I understand. You deserve better, Captain.
You're my best friend, Swain. And I killed us.
I love you, yo.
I love you, too.
The door opens once more, and the horrible alien monstrosity enters.
I guess this is it.
At least we got a chance to talk one more time. It was an honor to have you as a friend. I don't have any regrets.
A person suddenly rushes into the room, leaping in front of the two helpless crew members. Riley points a flamethrower at the approaching monster.
Back off, ugly!
Riley!
Excellent work, field engineer Riley! I'll be sure to note your heroism in my next report! Who knows? Maybe the company will give you a bonus for your dedication!
Sure, Captain.
Riley frees the two of them from the calcified ooze.
Hey, Riley, that was really impressive. When we're back on Earth, maybe I could thank you by taking you...
Absolutely not. For this entire mission, the two of you have been incredibly thoughtless and immature. Lucky for you, I have experience with this type of situation. Besides, we haven't escaped yet.
End of play.
Hey everyone, thank you all so much for listening. The performers tonight have been Olivia Devora, April Peroni, Melissa Johnson, Martin Napoleone, John Hartwell, and Sean Maddie. The first play of the night, Bad Advice, was written and narrated by Veronica White, with the character of the Tough Guy Machine being originally written by David English. Our second play of the night, Tabletop Tales, was written and narrated by Melissa Johnson. And our final story entitled Performance Review was written and narrated by John Hartwell. And that's all been here at 88.3 WRCT Pittsburgh.
Most of us like to be out in the sun. That's why sunscreen and other safety measures are key to protecting your skin from aging and cancer. The FDA recommends using a sunscreen with an SPF of 15 or higher. Also, look for broad spectrum on the label. That means both harmful ultraviolet A and B rays are blocked. Remember, SPF plus broad spectrum equal healthy fun in the sun. Visit www.fda.gov/sunscreen for more information. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
Hey, it's the Mockster from Friday night's radio program here on WRCT called Viva La Mock. And guess what? I have 30 minutes of music from Robin Hitchcock that I have curated especially for you. Born March 3rd, 1953, Robin Hitchcock first came onto the music scene in the mid-1970s as the lead singer of the English band The Soft Boys. After their breakup in 1981, Hitchcock embarked on a solo career. In the next 30 minutes, we will crisscross 40 years of solo work from Robin Hitchcock. But let's start things off with something from his debut.
We head downhill, our hands fly back, our fingers freeze.
grasshoppers curl up and burst, and Brenda shovels on the worst. Ah, all aboard Brenda's iron sledge. All aboard Brenda's iron sledge. Please don't call me Reg, it's not my name.
Thank you. Sally was a legend. Sally was a legend in my heart. Sally was a legend. So we had to keep ourselves apart. Push the dream toward me. I can see a flower in the dark. I can understand you. I don't understand the sacred heart. Sally was a legend. Sure as I can walk around this room, and the truth is evil. It's an evil truth to you know. I can point to Norway. I can point to Norway with my fist. Sally was a legend. Sure as there are veins beneath her wrists. Long before I ever did. And it's been a lifetime. And with you I celebrate my life. Sally was a legend. Now she's at the table with I. Sally was a legend. Sally was a legend, yeah. Sally was a legend,
sweetheart, I'm your twin.
From his 1993 album Respect, that's the Yip Song from Robin Hitchcock. Before that, from 1999's Jewels for Sophia, it was Sally Was a Legend. Also, Sicky Boy in there from 2010's Propeller, and start off the entire set from 1981, Brenda's Iron Sledge. Let's move on to Robin Hitchcock's third album, 1984's I Often Dream of Trains, and the title track.
I often dream of trains when I'm alone. I ride on them into another zone. I dream of them constantly. Trains when I'm awake, they ride along beside a frozen lake, and there in the buffet car I wait for eternity, or Basingstoke or Reading. I often dream of trains till it light. The summer turns to winter overnight. The leaves fall so suddenly. The sun sets at 4 o'clock. Exactly what I'm dreading. I often dream of trains when I'm with you. I wonder if you dream about them too. Maybe we'll meet one night out in the corridor. I'm waiting for you, baby. Baby.
Oh, God, you were beautiful.
Thank you.
from Ole Tarantula. That is Robin Hitchcock along with the Venus 3 doing Adventure Rocket Ship. Before that, from 1988's Global Frogs album, and this time with the Egyptians, it was Robin Hitchcock and Balloon Man. Also played from 2017, a self-titled album that Robin Hitchcock put out, Mad Shelley's Letterbox, and then I started the entire set from his 1984 third album, the title track, I Often Dream of Trains. One more song to end this set. Going back to Robin's 1989 Queen Elvis album, it's Madonna of the Watch.
Bye. back. This is a remote edition of 100% Natty with DJ Addy. Hope you guys are doing well. A little bit new to this recording platform. Unfortunately, out of town, so we got to do this one over the